A special thank you to those who are making your visit with us today. We want you to be comfortable as you visit and realize that you're among friends. If you have a question or would like to study further, I'll be at the door as you leave and make myself available to you in that way. It's good to be together on this beautiful Lord's Day. Our only appeal is to the truth. The Lord said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. And so we hope that you'll be interested in searching the scriptures with us. Appreciate the good reading from Hebrews chapter 11. That's introduced the study for us from Hebrews 11:1, where we heard that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And in verse 6, we're told that without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. To help cultivate that God-pleasing substance in our lives today, I'm calling our attention to some great statements of faith recorded throughout this book. You might like to write these down so that you'll have those for your future reference. I begin in the beginning book by calling attention to the last words of Joseph in Genesis chapter 50, when in verse 25, Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, what did he say? God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. I recommend to you that those last words of Joseph constitute a great statement of faith. In fact, these words are recorded in the faith chapter in Hebrews 11 and in verse 22, when the Hebrew writer said, "By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones." If you'd been Joseph, would you have had the great faith that he did? It was told Abram back in the book of Genesis, chapter 15, and verses 13 and 14. "Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them. And they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterward shall they come out with great substance." You read in Genesis 50 and verse 25, where Moses took the bones of Joseph when they left from Egypt. As reported in the book of Exodus in chapter 13 and in verse 19, Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, "God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you." And when you find the people in the promised land, as reported in Joshua 24 and verse 32, those bones were buried in Shechem. And so what a great statement of faith by Joseph. But also, when you make your study of great statements of faith, come with me to the book of Numbers, where we read of a spy story in chapter 13. Moses sent some men to spy the land of Canaan, verse 17. After 40 days of searching of the land, they come back. 10 of them bring a negative report when they said in verse 28, "The people be strong, the cities are walled and very great." And that report is described as being an evil report, verse 32. When they declared, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And then in verse 32, "It is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so were we in their sight." In the midst of all of this pessimism and negativity, there's a great statement of faith made by Caleb in verse 30. When Caleb stilled the people and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." If you'd been Caleb, would you have made the great statement of faith that he did? 10 said, "We can't." And guess what? They didn't. They're sentenced to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. The Lord said, surely they shall not see the land. Numbers 14 and verse 23. But Caleb, along with Joshua, who had another spirit, said, we can. And they did. In Numbers 14, 24, the Lord said, my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and he hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. And the Lord said in verse 30 that their carcasses would fall in the wilderness, save Caleb and Joshua. The book of Joshua finds Joshua leading the people across the Jordan into the promised land, the land of Canaan that flows with milk and honey. And Caleb in Joshua chapter 14, verses 13 and 14, is given Hebron for his inheritance because he had that great faith about it when he said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. It's a great statement made by an 85-year-old individual, as Joshua 14 and verse 10 reports him saying, as yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. He could have said, I'm too old and that mountain's too high. I think I'll just stay here in the valley. But what a great statement made by one of the great men of faith in this book. But also, when I make my study of great statements of faith, I come across another one in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 17. The setting finds the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle against the people of the Lord. And in verse 3, the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath. About 9 foot 9 inches tall. The reaction of the people, including Saul, who was their leader, was dismayed and greatly afraid. 1 Samuel 17 and verse 11. But contrary to their lack of faith, there stands out a young shepherd boy who exhibits great faith. Only little boy David, who said to Saul in 1 Samuel 17, 32, let no man's heart fail because of him, that's Goliath. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And there are those who look down on him because he is young. Young people, don't let anybody despise your youth. They said, you're but a youth, 1 Samuel 17, 33. They underestimated what young people with great faith can do, like David. David said in verse 34, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he had defied the armies of the living God. And here's the great statement of faith. When David said moreover, verse 37, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. If you'd been David, would you have made that great statement of faith? The Lord will deliver me. We sing a song. He is able to deliver thee. The God that delivered David from the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, and out of the hand of the Philistine and the Israelites from the Philistines, is able to deliver you today. We find David in verse 40, going forth, drawing near to this uncircumcised Philistine, armed with a staff in his hand, 5 smooth stones, a shepherd's bag, and a sling. This Philistine cursed David by his gods, little g, verse 43. But David said in verse 45, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee, listen, in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. You see, this was really a contest between God and the gods of the Philistines, which really was no contest. at all. David said that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, verse 46. The battle is the Lord's, verse 47. And David prevailed over the Philistine, verse 50. May you and I develop this kind of a prevailing faith. But come with me now to the New Testament as we explore great statements of faith. In Matthew chapter 8 and verse 2, behold, there came a leper and worshipped the Lord, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. The statement of faith is expressed by this leper when he said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Now, leprosy was a skin disease for which there was no known cure. In fact, it caused a person to be made unclean, as you read the book of Leviticus, and put out of the camp. If you'd been this leper, would you have had the faith that he did? Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. The man had faith that the Lord could do for him what none other could do. And that's the kind of faith I need to have. But in this same chapter, I read another great statement of faith by a centurion. That was a Roman soldier who was entrusted with the century, 100 men. The Bible says in Matthew 8 and 5 that there came unto him a centurion beseeching him. What's his request? Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. Listen to these words. The centurion answered in verse 8, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. That's great faith. When this centurion said, Lord, you just speak the word, and my servant will be healed. Put yourself back in the times and the place of this centurion. Would we have had the great faith that he did? Lord, you say the word, and my servant will be healed. He realized that his bodily presence wasn't required. There was power in his word to heal his servant. And Jesus took note of his faith. He said in verse 10, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel, as Matthew reports that Jesus marveled. Not very many occasions where you read of Jesus marveling, but he marveled at this man's faith. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the same hour. Matthew 8 and verse 13. What would the Lord say about our faith? Would he say it's great, like he did the centurion? But in Matthew chapter 9, I find another great statement of faith. In Matthew 9 and in verse 18, while he spake these things, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead. But come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. This ruler is identified as Jairus. I wonder if I'd been this ruler, if I'd had the faith that he had. You might highlight those words. My daughter is even now dead. But come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. Would you have had the faith that he had? My daughter's dead, but Lord, you come and you lay your hand on her and she'll live. She'll be alive. That's great faith, isn't it? Verse 23 says, when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. When the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. He had the faith that the Lord could just lay his hand on her and she'd live. And he took her by the hand and she arose. That's impressive, isn't it? Again, in Matthew 9, couched between this story, we find a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood. Verse 20. And such, according to the law, as stated in Leviticus 15 and verse 25, would have rendered her unclean. This disease she had for 12 years. She came behind the Lord and touched the hem of his garment. That's an expression perhaps you've heard before. Touching the hem of the garment. That's where it comes from. Why did she touch the hem of his garment? For she said within herself, what'd she say? Here's a great statement of faith. If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. That's a great statement, isn't it? I wonder if you'd been that woman, if I'd been in her place, if I'd had that kind of faith, that if I could just but touch his clothes, just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. And she had been suffering with this malady for 12 years. And Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, said, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole." And the woman was made whole from that hour. Mark reports in Mark chapter 5 and verse 26 that this woman had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. Can you relate to that? You know, people who have spent all they have, physicians can't help them. You see, Jesus can do for us what other persons cannot. We need to have that kind of faith. But then, as you make your list today of great statements of faith, I turn your attention now to the book of John in the 11th chapter. If you're familiar with John 11, you remember it concerns dead Lazarus. How that a certain man was sick named Lazarus, verse 1, and his sister sent unto him, saying, "Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." Verse 3. And Jesus then went to Lazarus, to the family, that he might be with them. And when he came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Verse 17. Too late to do anything, right? Not for this person. Not for Jesus, the Son of God. And I want you to notice some great statements of faith made in connection with the death of Lazarus by his sister, Martha. In verse 21, Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." That's a great statement of faith, isn't it? Lord, if you'd been here, he wouldn't have died. Because he knew that there was power in Jesus to heal all disease, didn't she? But notice, that's not where her faith ends. She said in verse 22, "I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee." Even though he's dead, been dead in the grave 4 days already, I know that if you ask of God, God will give it thee. And Jesus said, "Thy brother shall rise again." Her faith just keeps being expressed, doesn't it? Verse 24, she said, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." She had faith in that. You know, there are people today who would deny that, who don't believe in that. But Martha did. And Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." And he says to Martha, "Believest thou this?" Good question for us. "Believest thou this?" And she said, "Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." Great statements of faith made by Martha, aren't they? "I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee." In verse 41, they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me." And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice in verse 43 and said, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth. And the same voice that brought forth Lazarus, who had been dead 4 days, will bring all that are in the graves forth. John 5, 28 and 29 says, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." What a beautiful story of great faith. Another statement of great faith is recorded in Acts chapter 8. The gospel reaches Samaria. We find Philip being joined to a chariot. He meets up with a eunuch that had been to Jerusalem to worship, returning home, reading from Isaiah 53. And Philip preaches unto him Jesus, Acts 8, verse 35. And as they went on their way, according to Acts 8 and verse 36, they came under a certain water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" You see, when Christ is preached, it points out the need for us to be baptized. And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, what did he say in Acts 8 and verse 37? "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." That's a great statement of faith that was made by this man before he was baptized. And it was upon the confession of his faith that he stopped the chariot, and they, both Philip and the eunuch, went down in the water. He baptized him, came up out of the water, went on his way rejoicing. And when you're baptized, you'll make the same great statement of faith. "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And the Lord promised that if you'll make that great statement of faith, he'll confess you before the Father. Matthew 10:32, he said, "Whosoever," that includes you today, "therefore shall confess me," that's Jesus, "before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven." And Paul taught in Romans 10:9-10 that with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Would you make that confession today? And then finally, and to borrow that expression, we've not touched the hem of the garment as to all that could be said on this subject. But number 10. In Acts chapter 27, we find a great statement of faith spoken by Paul when you find him on his tempestuous sea voyage towards Rome. Acts 27 and verse 20 says, "All hope that we should be saved was taken away." Can you imagine being in a place where there's no hope? As far as they could tell, it's going to be all loss. Nobody's going to survive. You ever been in a situation like that? But in verse 21, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete, and have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer." How could Paul say that? He said, "For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee." Now listen to this. "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." That's a great statement of faith. He believed what the messenger of God said. No loss of life. You know, there are those who claim to believe in God. It's one thing to believe in God. It's another thing to believe God. To take him at his word. "I believe God." 216 souls were in the ship. Verse 37. 276 passengers. And the Bible says in verse 44, they escaped all safe to land. The question now is, do you believe God? Do you? Jesus said in the book of Mark chapter 9 and verse 23, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." Jesus said in John 8 and verse 24, "If ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." And as recorded in John 3 and verse 18, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And just before his ascension, Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Mark 16 and in verse 16. May these great statements of faith be cultivated in our hearts so that we'll have the kind of faith that will cause us to come to God and to believe that he is and to please him. We're going to sing a song to invite you to come to God today. Everything's been made ready that you might express your faith, having heard his word. That's what produces faith in our hearts. As faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. And may that faith cause us to obey, to repent of our sins. Except to repent, the Lord said, "Ye shall all likewise perish," Luke 13:3. And God commandeth all men everywhere to repent, Acts 17:30. to make the good confession that we saw made by the Ethiopian in Acts 8 when he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and we'll be happy to baptize you. Water is within walking distance. It's warm. All things are ready. There's clothing, towels, everything needed that you might be baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. As Saul of Tarsus was asked, and now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Acts 22:16. To rise to walk in newness of life, to be faithful unto death. Revelation 2:10, that the crown of life may be yours. Maybe you've already been baptized, but you've not been faithful. You sinned. You need to repent of that. You need to ask for God's forgiveness. We bid you come. Do that. Help us. Help you as we stand and sing the song.